stand in awe within the presence of the Lord, in whom the wisdom of the ages lies, for whom the raging of the sea subsides, the living sacrifice, my only source of life.
Yes, my hope is in the Lord. But this time, oh, evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord, evermore.
His tender mercies come with every rising sun.
Amen.
To meet the sinner in his brokenness, he offers healing and forgiveness. And those who trust in him,
oh, let's sing about it now, church,
find our hearts at rest.
With all your heart.
Where else would you hope this morning? Where else would you put your trust if it wasn't in the Lord? Isn't God good to us? Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? You glad you got a bridle in your mouth? Well, I tell you what. I told Brother Jimmy Whitson after church, I said, I'm just cautious to say hello to anybody anymore. But we need what we're hearing, don't we? It's going to get us out of here. Do you believe that with all your heart? What we are doing right now, we are being preached into a rapture. We are being preached into a body change. You may not see a lot of change going on in your day-to-day walk. You may just say, God, there ain't no hope for me. But there's hope. Because that inward man, that something's going on in there that this old outward man can't even comprehend. Are you glad you're a Christian this morning? Are you glad you're a believer this morning? Why don't you give the Lord a big hand clap of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Now let's take just a second. You may meet a brand new friend here this morning. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is. Play some more of that song, guys. Let's sing.
same name. And those who trust in Him,
hallelujah,
will find our hearts at rest.
Bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning just for a minute while we look at our prayer request. Brother Michael Salyer getting ready to come lead us to the Lord here just in a minute or two. Before we do that, I just want to make a statement about our young people. How proud I am of our young people. How thankful I am of our young people. Brother Wes, you and your helpers, I don't know who all is involved in this young people move, but I just want to say I appreciate you. I appreciate the young folks. Just go ahead and give them a hand this morning. As I view their comments a lot of times on Facebook, just to see how they are embracing, Brother Terry, the Word of the Lord and what it's doing in their lives and how it's changing their lives, lets me know that we're blessed to have some great young people. Now, you know what? You look around and say, well, just a young boy, just a young girl. But you know what? You used to be a young boy and a young girl once upon a time. Many, many years ago for some of us. But I just want to say, young people, young married couples that's embracing this truth, that's embracing what you're hearing at Happy Valley, God bless you. God bless you. You know, it's not hard for us old folks because we ain't got nowhere to go nohow. But these young people, they're enticed in a lot of different ways that we don't even dream about. And I just want to say, God bless our young people. Amen. Give them one more hand this morning. All right. Now we want to look at a prayer request. Brother Eugene, Sister Janet Kennedy and their boys, their sons, they says, we want to thank the Lord God that we have finally been able to move back to this area, being able to be close to the church without going into a lot of details. It was truly a miracle for us. Somebody say, thank the Lord. Amen. Sister Sylvia Barham, sister, please pray for my friends. Brother Jerry Johnson, possible aneurysm. They're not expecting him to live, so we want to remember that prayer request that the Lord would be mindful of that situation this morning. Brother Jim Hughes Jr. sends this in to please pray for Jim Hughes Sr. having surgery Monday or Tuesday, abnormal cells on his eyelid. Pray that God will be with him through this surgery, so we just commit that need unto the Lord. God's able to meet that need, isn't he? Micah Swafford, Brother Micah Swafford says to please pray for his mother, his brother Timothy Swafford, and his cousin Matt Cole for salvation, and also for Billy Widener. So we just commit all these prayer requests unto the Lord this morning. Sister Betty Waters says that she talked with Sister Faye Yontz this morning. She asked for prayer for Brother Eddie Yontz. He is very sick. He is desirous to be here in the house of the Lord. Your prayers are appreciated very much. So we just pray for that need this morning. I want to pray for Charity Hubbard, sick and unable to be in the service today. Let's pray for her. God will touch her body. And then here's a prayer request this morning to please have prayer for protection from the flu, especially for our children as they start back to school. Very good prayer request. We'll just really commit that unto the Lord and ask God to protect them as they go back to school off of Christmas break. Pray for Sister Rachel Scott, who is having trouble breathing. Also for Brother Randy not feeling well. And just commit them to the Lord. Also, they have a pet that they've asked us to remember in prayer. I want to pray for Donna Pistole, who pulled a muscle that affects her heart, had to go to the emergency room for treatment. So let's remember her as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Tracy, who is home from the hospital, but not doing very well. So we certainly just want to continue to remember Brother Tracy in prayer. Sister Anna Shipley is here today. She had cataract surgery and surgery on her leg and is happy to be back in the house of the Lord. She thanks everyone for prayers, cards, visits, and everything that you've done. So praise the Lord for that. Glad to have her back, aren't we? Amen. Brother Gary Harris says to please remember my cousin, Junior Smith, in prayer. He is having back surgery tomorrow. Also pray for his salvation. Now, I want to recognize Brother Paul Arrowood this morning, who will be receiving his Eagle Scout Award this afternoon. This takes a lot of dedication and hard work. So, Brother Paul, God bless you. Congratulations. Give him a nice hand this morning. I want Brother Michael to come at this time as you stand with me. Do you have an unspoken prayer request today? Something you'd like for this group to pray about? I'm very appreciative and very proud of this young man right here. The last time he was here and led us in prayer, gave a wonderful testimony, encouragement to the young people. You may have another testimony this morning. I don't know. But if you do, go ahead and give it to us. We love this guy right here, don't we? Amen. Appreciate you, buddy. Before I ask him to pray, he's supposed to graduate from college this coming May. And what is your major?
Wildlife science.
Wildlife science and
fishery science.
Fishery science. And he says he's maybe even thinking about going out west. He just wants to pray and seek the will of the Lord. And I told him, I said, well, just come home, pray about it for 10 or 20 years, and then we'll see how that all works out. We love you, buddy. God bless you. Appreciate you.
Let's all bow our heads and pray together over these requests. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, thanks, Lord. Just thanks. This comes from our heart this morning, Father. Just thankful, Lord, for the opportunity, oh, Lord, to once again be in your house, Father. This tabernacle, Lord, that's just a building, Lord, but it's been set aside, Lord, for your worship, O Lord, and to hear from you, O Lord. And Lord, we know you're here because we brought you here, O Lord, in our hearts and soul. O Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for the grace, O Lord, that called us, O Lord. And Lord, for that seed that you laid in us, O Lord, that responded back to that calling, O Lord. Father, no doubt, Lord, we'll come in contact with many people today, Lord, that woke up this morning, O Lord, and had no desire to go to any sort of worship service, Father. And, Lord, we know it's not, Lord, that we were better than any of them, Lord, in ourselves, O Lord, but it's just your grace and mercy in our lives, Lord. How thankful we are, Father, Lord. Lord, we're just so thankful. Lord, we just want to bring these requests to your attention, Lord. You knew them before the foundation of the world, Father, but we're just making them known. Lord, maybe our prayers here today, O Lord, will be the only prayers that go forth for some of these requests, O Lord. Father, Lord, the man with the aneurysm comes to mind, Father, Lord. They're looking at what's seen, Lord, but we're looking to the unseen, Father, Lord, just asking that you would come down, O Lord, and make a miracle there in that situation for all to see, Father. Lord, we just pray for the kids, O Lord, as they go back to school, Lord, the sicknesses, O Lord, and then the diseases that go around, Lord, and can spread from one to the other. We just ask, O Lord, that you'd be with them, O Lord, and keep them from all the sickness. Father, I want to say a special prayer, Lord, for the young people that are going back to school, Lord. Lord, the evil there on those school grounds, Father. I mean, Lord, you know how it is, O Lord, and the temptations and trials. But, Father, Lord, I just pray for the young people, Lord, if they haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord, and haven't experienced a new birth, I pray, O Lord, this will be the day that you come down, Father, and change them, O Lord, Father. Because, Lord, you know once that new birth comes, Father, that, Lord, they, they'll have no desire, Lord. And even if they do slip up, O Lord, and that black dog rises up, Lord, they'll be miserable until they make it right with you, O Lord. Father, we just ask that you'd forgive us for all our wrongdoings, O Lord. Lord, for those times we've let that black dog rise up, O Lord, and take preeminence, Lord. And Lord, just forgive us for not obeying the Holy Spirit, Lord, and just letting it have continued preeminence in our lives, Father. Lord, just ask that you be mindful of these requests that went forth today, Father, Lord. Lord, just move on the scene for each hand that was raised. Father, you know the needs, O Lord. No doubt, Lord, many of us are going through trials, O Lord, and we have different needs in our lives, Father. But, Lord, we know that you are more than able, O Lord. With you, Lord, we're more than conquerors, Father. Oh, Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory. Lord, and we just invite you here this morning, Father. Lord, just come down, oh, Lord, and have total preeminence in the service, Father. Anoint Brother Donnie, Lord, as he speaks the word, oh, Lord, as it goes forth, oh, Lord. Anoint us, oh, Lord, that we may pull from that gift, Lord. We know the preacher doesn't come with a revival in his suitcase, oh, Lord. It's up to us to pull from that gift, Father. Lord, just anoint the congregation, oh, Lord. Anoint the songs. Just come, Lord, and have total preeminence, and we'll give you the credit and glory and the honor forever. Amen. Amen.
Give this guy another hand. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a song. This is actually the song I was trying to think of last night. We was all over the board trying to find it, but it finally come to me. As is most of my cases now, things finally come to me. You're not like that, probably. Liars. We all are like that, aren't we? Amen. But let's sing this morning. Here we are, the 12th day of January 2014. What a privileged people we are to be together once again this morning. You know, anymore, somebody said, are you having a good day? I said, I was able to get up and put my shoes on. I'm having a wonderful, wonderful day. So let's sing a song this morning. It's all about this. I want to pledge my allegiance to our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because He loved us so much, He sent us the truth in this evil hour. He loved you so much, He gave His life. He loved you so much that He resurrected. He loved you so much that He sent the Holy Ghost back on you to keep you and to guide you. And He loved you so much that He went away to prepare a home for you to get to go to. Rent free, streets of gold. How could you beat a deal like that? Sing about it, buddy.
I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that He would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. They would not deny.
Hallelujah.
Like a great angelic choir sings,
I can almost hear
their voices ring.
Oh, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb,
to the
with
Lamb,
all my strength, with all I am.
I will seek to honor His command.
Oh, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Now the years have come and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus for the one us proudly stand and boldly say, but the cause of the living Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come for us to count the cost. Will we embrace the world or embrace our cross? One by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life till the trumpet sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His command.
Oh, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb,
to the Lamb of God who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame. I will seek to honor His commands.
Give Him a real good hand clap of praise. He's worthy this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. Brother Lino has a song for us. He'll be getting ready to sing. We'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the rest of the service today. Give Brother Lino a hand as he comes.
Everybody's not 6:30. I appreciate what Brother Lou had to say about the young people. I told people, though, he had to speak for himself there. Are you with me, Vern? Almost 30 years ago, you would not have known this church if you'd come by. I think I counted 60 people one Sunday morning. I was flat on my face. A lot of people had quit. The leaders of the church was just about as bad a shape as I was in. But I found Jesus. And the hardest thing I ever done in my life was to get back and forgive myself. And I wrote, I was down as low to make it go. Had no strength of my own. that wasn't just some words I came up with. That was my very life. I got in that frame of mind and I couldn't get out of it. I wrote, if I had my life to live over, I'd be careful, watch every move I made. And I went from there, I could not get it out of my mind. I wrote, pardon me, I need someone to pardon me. Forgive me, I need someone to forgive me. And my soul was crying out, God had forgiven me. But every time I went to him to pray, he didn't know what I was talking about. Because once you went to Calvary, he don't know what you're talking about. There's a blank page there where whatever you did, there's a blank page there. If you were to look at me, oh, the scars of sin you'd see. Take a good look at my past, and I'm sure you'd be ashamed of me. But if you could look through the eyes of God, you'd only see Calvary. Then you wouldn't see me as I am. You'd see me as I really want to be. So if you look at me, look through Calvary. Make sure there's blood between you and me. He looks through red and sees white, sees me as pure can be. When I repented of my sin, he forgave me. Now you can look at me differently. Look at me through Calvary. You know, then again I can sing, all is well, all is well. We have heard the message, shalom, Lord. And I can also sing, and I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. What have I done to deserve such glory that's revealed in me? Thanks for that special night when I saw your glorious light. Came face to face with eternal life, and Lord, I thank thee.
Lord, amen. Ushers, come at this time. Let's receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in this service today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, may this service be a blessing to them. Let's sing a little chorus this morning. We could also add that to what Brother Lenuel sung for us this morning. People may remember you as what you used to be. They may think bad thoughts of the way you used to be. But I'm going to tell you this. If you've been to Calvary, just tell them I've been redeemed. All that's changed. I have been redeemed. Are you glad you've been redeemed this morning? Let's stand as we sing it together. I'm redeemed. I have been redeemed.
I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Anybody ask you just who I am? Oh, tell them I am redeemed. Sing it now. Been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. So if anybody asks you just who I am, oh, tell them I am redeemed. One more time.
Thank God today for that great plan for us. Let's turn to the book of James, if you would, chapter 1, verse 25. Let's see what a person does when they are redeemed. See what kind of action they have, how they live, and all that sort of thing. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And the church said,
Amen.
Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Look at this word, pure, pure religion. Katharos, clean, ethically free from corrupt desire, free from sin and guilt, free from every admixture of what is false, but it is sincere, genuine, blameless, innocent, unstained with the guilt of anything. So that's what pure is. And religion is thraiskeia, which is religious worship, especially external, that which consists of ceremonies and religious discipline. So pure religion. That's what I'm going to speak to you about today. That's kind of what I want.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
Pure religion. Let's pray together, if you would. Lord Jesus, we love you so much today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you mean to us, all that you've done for us. Lord, we could never, ever be able to praise you enough for all the things that we know about, much less all the times that you've moved for us and we wasn't even aware. Things that you did, things that you worked out for us, that no doubt eternity will unfold. Lord, did we pray that you'd take your word today, speak to us, Father. May we be a better people once we leave here today. May we be benefited from the word of God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Sometimes I think that we tend to look at the word religion we downplay the word because it is so abused. People will say, well, I'm not religious, which means they don't go to church, they don't obey the word, they don't necessarily disbelieve in God, but they just don't practice any sort of religion. We tend to, I think it goes with the message as well, that we tend to kind of look at religion and not have much respect for it. But yet there is a true religion. There is a true, pure religion from the Bible that true Christians ought to have. There's a great difference now between salvation and religion. Salvation is perfect and pure because of where it comes from. Salvation comes from the Spirit of God, of course, what He'd done to redeem us and to make us free. But religion, true religion, pure religion, is actually the outworking of that pure salvation in an everyday life. Now, religion without salvation is what Brother Branham said. It was a covering. Religion is a covering. But if you have salvation, then the outworking of that salvation will be what God wants it to be. And James wrote about it, that it would be pure religion. So there should be something in our hearts then that after being the recipients of salvation, that we want the outworking of that salvation to express itself in religious terms. Now it will be going to church, it will be paying our tithes, doing, you know, many, many things is what God desires for us to be. But salvation is what God does in our heart, which is invisible. Religion is what people see, which much is what the book of James is written about. It's written about works and people saw in Abraham, what they saw in Rahab, what they saw in different ones. So James is focusing then on the outworking of what these people say that they have. And if they really have salvation that Paul talked about, salvation that Peter wrote about, then they will have the religion which James also wrote about. So it would be the outworking of that work of God in their lives. So this kind of religion is not the repulsive kind. It is not the kind that would say, well, Buddhists, Sikhs, Jains, Shintoism, all that, nothing, that's all the religion that there is. No, that's not all there is. There is a pure religion. And it's amazing when you look at it that James now believed. Now remember, he was a half-brother, naturally speaking, of the Lord Jesus. But he never mentions it in this letter. James never uses his identification of being raised up in the same home that Jesus was as the man, and never says, hey, y'all better listen to me because I'm a half-brother. Jude, exactly the same way, Jude, which was also a foster brother of the Lord Jesus, never even mentioned it at all. Why? Because they knew they had no more claim on the Lord Jesus than any of the rest of those of that day because they were all brothers. They were born again. But now here James then, he wants to focus that after that we've looked into the mirror of the Word. First of all, we want to see Christ. Secondly, we want to see ourselves. And then after we peer deep enough into the image of the mirror, then we must see others that are around us. Now we can never really be able to realize what we have need of in our own help until we recognize that God is greater than all of our needs. Is that right? And we cannot recognize that what we can be changed until we see where we are. You've been to it as well as I have. You go into a mall or different places and you're looking for a certain place and it'll say, you are here. Well, then you look at a certain place. I'm wanting Sears. I'm wanting Penny's. I'm wanting so-and-so. Then it shows you it's on floor 3. Are you looking for the men's department, women's department? What are you looking for? It don't do you any good for all that map to be laid out showing you Sears is that way and Belk's is that way and, you know, Kmart's over that way. You got to find out where you are. So then you say, you are here. Then you go down this way, take the elevator to the second floor, make off to go left, go into this way, turn that way. But you've got to have the precise identification of where you are. You got to know where you're located. Then once you are, then you can go from there. So when we look into the Word and we see Christ Jesus, who is the propitiation for our sins, He's the atonement, He's everything that we have need of. Then we look at ourselves and see where we're falling short of the glory of God. Then we identify what we need to do. Then we turn and we look and we see other folks in the image of the mirror, and that is those that this religion which God is working out of our lives will be manifested freely to them. Now for many, they're going to fight the battle of respect of persons. Some will find it because of money. Some will find it because of people of a certain class that they think are, you know, a certain upper class, and they want to be identified with that. Others will fight it the other way. As some lean toward the rich, some will hate the rich because they got more than what they got. And both parties are wrong. That's right. Remember, many folks look down upon the poor. So if that's so, you would have looked down on the Lord Jesus whenever he was here. Because he was very, very poor. The Lord Jesus was not a wealthy man. He was not a man of substance. As a matter of fact, any of you here, if you own a mobile home, if you own a car, if you own more than one change of clothes, you were richer than the Lord Jesus was himself. Now, you may be a poor man compared to John Paul Getty, or you may be a poor man compared to the Rockefellers or whoever more, but compared to the Lord Jesus, if you've got two pairs of shoes, you're a rich man. If you've got two changes of clothes, you've got an automobile, you've got a home, or at least a place that you're renting. The Lord Jesus didn't even have a rental apartment. He did not have one place to lay his head. Lord have mercy. That was his own. And yet, if we would look down upon the poor, and we would go back and revert back to 2,000 years ago, many with that attitude would have looked upon the Lord Jesus. Why do people look upon the poor? Because the poor tend to embarrass us. And why do they look toward the rich? They look toward the rich for the favoritism that they can get from them, that they can do this for them and do that for them. But you know what? James is going to deal with that and show us that that is not pure religion. That is not religion. Now, I'm not saying that. Remember that none of these people, I'm not going to rob them of salvation in saying that they don't have salvation, that they themselves are not saved. But they never allowed this salvation in the outworking of the divine law to do what James called, as we'll look at it here in a few moments, what James identified as the Basilikos law, which was the royal law. It was the divine, kingly law of God. James is the only one in the entire New Testament that identifies this law. So this is the basis of what James calls pure religion. Let's look again, if you would, at this verse. Now he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. So it will be the outworking of salvation that will manifest itself and what will be identified as religion. So people will look at you and say they're sinners and they don't really know anything about God, and they hear you talk about God, or they see you pray over your food. More than likely, they may not necessarily say, well, are you in the message, or are you a Baptist? Or they're going to put you in one clump and going to say, no doubt that person is religious. So this is a term then that they will identify you. They won't know, are you free will a Baptist, or do you believe in predestination, or do you believe in election? That's not where most of them are going to separate us. They're going to say, well, you are religious. As we got on the boat when we was up in New York, and we went over by Ellis Island where the Statue of Liberty was the first night that we got there. And there was a man there that was working the ferry, and he was down there going to let everybody out. Well, over here was my wife and the other sisters, and they were standing there with long dresses on. It was really, really cold, and they had on gloves and all that sort of thing. And this man was standing right in front of me. He wasn't really talking to me. He wasn't really talking to anybody else, maybe just himself. And he was looking at these ladies with the skirts on and all that. And I heard him say, they must be religious because they've got on them skirts. They should have on pants because they'd be a whole lot warmer. And then he looked at me and said, of course, I guess being religious is okay. So here I thought, now here is this man, apparently with no profession of faith, but he identified them as being religious. So then there is something that is a common denominator among the people that are saved or unsaved, that whether or not they understand election, predestination, foreknowledge, prophets, all that, they have a general understanding, which is the thing from their soul that will condemn them at the day of judgment. They do understand a very simple principle about religion. So whether or not you and I will ever be able to witness at Walmart about us understanding about a prophet or election or predestination, the people that will look at you and the way you do and the way you behave, they will more than likely identify you as being religious or non-religious. So they're going to see whether or not they understand the theology of what your profession is. They will say, well, apparently that is a religious person. They are a nice person. They don't cuss. They know this. So apparently they must be a religious person. Now, there's nothing really wrong with that in the sense of being identified with it. So here James says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: that a person will visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction.
And not only, now this word that was used, that James used in the Greek, was not to just physically go and knock on their door and to be able to see them and talk with them and ask them how they were getting along, but it was to look after them. So it was more than just, well, sending them a text, sending them an email, wanting to check on you, how you doing. It was more than just actually literally physically going to their home and visiting them, how are you doing? But it is to actually look on them. It is to gaze upon their welfare and see how they are doing. How many of you folks got pure religion? Oh, dear Jesus. Not one hand? Lord. Well, you're going to have it. You got to have it to get out of here. Now watch. So he says pure religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows. And the word here is to communicate to them and to supply their needs as they will require, according to the ability that God has given you. Now, where there is true religion in the heart, there is true love for God. Where there is true love for God, there is true love for mankind. Not just those four people that live in your house with you. Not just the 400 or 500, whatever it is that comes to this church. Not just the thousands that believe this message. If you have the true love of God in your heart, you love humanity. Now, I realize we're going to step way out beyond where some of you live today, but may God help us. Now, our duty toward our fellow man, it actually precedes or goes before even our own concern for ourselves. Now, I know it doesn't with many people, but according to the scripture, it does. Now, pure religion and undefiled, then, is this, before God and the Father, is to visit. Look at this word. To look upon or after, to inspect. To examine with the eyes, to look upon in order to help or to benefit. So this is pure religion undefiled. That a man will look upon the fatherless or the widows in their afflictions, in their difficult times, in their hard times, that he is concerned. Why? Because he has the love of God in his heart. Now remember, he's not doing it in the form of religion. Notice the difference now. A person that has salvation, it will reflect itself through religion, and they will do something on behalf of this people because of salvation. In their heart. Some people will help the widows and they will visit the fatherless because they are religious without salvation. Now, their church teaches they've got to do this. None of us will ever outdo the Salvation Army or Goodwill or none of them. And you all stand on the outside of Stein Martin, ring the bell at Kroger at Christmas time to be able to give them this and that and the other. It's a good thing to do, is it not? Sure it is. It's a good, noble thing. But yet, if you do that without salvation, then you have religion, which is a covering. But if you do what you do based upon, first of all, you have salvation in your heart, then the works you are doing is the outworking. Oh my. The outworking of you're doing it because of the love of God in your heart. There, my brother, is pure religion. Then you're not doing this as a covering. You're not doing it as a write-off at the end of the year so you can claim it on your taxes. You're not doing it so this person would know it and that one would know it. You do it because you genuinely feel for these people. Praise be to God. Now watch, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. To keep himself unspotted from the world. Now wouldn't this seem like a paradox, almost opposites? That a person then with pure religion, His religion will be identified by the actions which are testifying he has true salvation to other people. So he actually puts other people before he puts himself. He actually does that in the order prior to keeping himself unspotted from the world. This is eternal life, friends. This is eternal life, living for others. Now I want you to notice that the way that James frames this, he does not say that the Holy Ghost will keep this man. He does not say God the Father will keep this man, but this man will keep himself. Notice what he says. So pure religion then leads into living with people that are around us. It's helping those, especially of the household of faith, but it is not limited to the household of faith. Oh, it's one thing I love about Brother Branham. Whenever I listen to the tapes and I hear him, as the people come up in the prayer line, there'll be people come up of all sorts of faiths, all different types of people. He went to India. I've actually stood there with a revival broke in India at the little church, and it outgrew there and went to another and another, and they finally just outgrew the buildings that they had. And see, the Brother Branham loved. He didn't just reach out to the apostolic people. He didn't reach out to those that even believed in Christianity. But he sat there and he was entertained by 17 different religions in one afternoon. 17 different religions. And he told them about the grace of the Lord Jesus. Did many of them receive it? They did not. But yet he reached out to them. Why? Brother Branham loved humanity. Brother Branham did not just pray for the Pentecostal people, the apostolic people. He did not just pray for those that was in his message, but he prayed for Baptists, Methodists, Sikhs, Jain, Buddhist, whatever they more. I'm afraid, my friends, one thing that we have lost in this message, we have so isolated ourselves. We love only our church and only those that believe what we believe. And we make the circle smaller and smaller and smaller. If we're not careful, we're going to hardly love anybody time this thing is over. Unless we get pure religion. Which loves beyond our church walls. It loves beyond our message. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If he loved the world, what about you? This world we live in is a filthy place. You cannot go out of your home without being contaminated. Drive down the Interstate 26. Drive down 11W. Whichever way you go, north, south, east, or west. You see a billboard, you're going to be contaminated. Your mind. You're going to see cigarettes. You're going to see half-naked women. You're going to see all kinds of things. It is a filthy world. Is God going to come down before the rapture and burn all of it off? He will not. But he gives us the divine equipment by which we can be kept. Now notice James said, pure religion and undefiled is that a man will behave himself toward his neighbors, but he also will keep himself unspotted from the world. Makes you wonder sometimes how many really have pure religion, don't they? Now watch, since this world is a filthy place, there's contaminants all around us. I'm not talking about pollution now. I'm not talking about chemicals in that sense. I'm talking about spiritual pollution that will try to pollute your soul. Through the avenue of your eyes and your ears, through the avenue of social media. Preach, Brother Donnie. You realize those of you that have a smartphone, that have access to the internet, you have access to some of the most vile, wretched, filthy things that a man can imagine right there on the access by your telephone. But it's entirely up to you whether you will ever access any of that trash or not. You can use a smartphone for the right thing if you're a smart person. But I've come to realize I've got a lot of dumb people with smartphones. Because the devil put all that trash on there, and if you can't handle it, I'd rather have one that just made phone calls alone than to get myself into a mess of trouble with a so-called smartphone. Praise God, saints, if we need to go back to walkie-talkies, let's do it. Let's put a tin can in between us and tie a string on. Brother Jerry, you hear me? How you doing, Brother Calvin? How you doing? Forget the smartphone stuff. Forget the computer stuff. Whatever we got to do, let's keep ourselves unspotted from this filthy world. My. You imagine a filthy, filthy place that Satan has corrupted it into. By exposure of television. And media and movies, all kinds of things, lowering the standards of people, Little by little, our society, our American people are becoming bewildered. The homosexual poll that was taken in 1987 compared to the one that was taken just this week by CNN. Absolutely unbelievable how the numbers of people that thought it was wrong to smoke marijuana just in 1987, how those numbers have plummeted and now people don't think it's wrong. How many people thought the numbers, 80-some percent or something like that, that thought it was wrong, homosexual behavior in 1987. And now hardly nobody thinks it's wrong anymore. Well, here's one who does. You know why? Television. Law promoters have got a bunch of drug addicts in Congress and a bunch of drug addict senators and who knows what they got in the White House. And yet, with them's the folks making the laws? Come on, hallelujah. So what does it do? Little by little, it demoralizes the nation. It's getting them ready for the atomic cleanup. And all this is around us. And here you are in this beautiful wedding garment of the Word. You've got a flowing train, little bride. You've got a veil, your cuffs, your long, beautiful cuffs with the lace. Oh, it's the most beautiful dress that's ever been seen. And you're living in a dark, smutty, filthy world. You know how it is. You go to Lowe's to get a something. You go to Walmart to get your groceries. You go to school, little children. You go to wherever you go, you adults. Everywhere you go, it's all around you. And the sad part about it is you can't even come to church without smutty filth. It's bad when you see women dress like whores on the street. It makes it even worse when they come to church and sit down by you in the next pew. Hallelujah. This is our duty and our daily behavior to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. If not, you have a religious message cloak. That's all you have. You have a religious message cloak. Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10. And you are cloaking yourself with this religious cloak unless this salvation is acting itself out. Oh my, I heard the prophet say it this week. How many people use Malachi 4 for a phony text? How many use Luke 17, 30? Now look, friend, that could not be applied in that day. There wasn't hardly no message church established. But can you imagine prophetically how many preachers so-called in this message used Malachi 4 for a phony text? Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10. Oh, goodness. Notice James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless rather than the widows and their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. How in this world is this ever going to be done? By the same power that puts the bridle in your mouth. It won't be hard as long as you got the bridle in your mouth, because you got the bridle in the mouth, you can move the whole horse. So as long as the Holy Ghost has got the bridle in my mouth, he can move my whole body. The Holy Ghost can move my fingers and keep me off porn sites. The Holy Ghost can shut up my ears so I don't want to hear the latest church gossip. The Holy Ghost can control my hands that I won't light up a Pall Mall or a Windsor. Come on, don't get quiet on me. The Holy Ghost can keep me where I ain't going to drink no more alcohol. I ain't going to do no more stuff like that. Why? He's got a bit inside of me. Say, you go here, you go there, you do this. I say, yes, sir. Now watch as James goes on. Well, I'll tell you what, James is a hard preacher, wasn't he? Man, y'all didn't know my third middle name was James? No, just... James chapter 2 verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Now imagine by now they had already learned James' mannerism. So whenever he started out the beginning of this new chapter, the first verse, saying, my brethren, they probably knew they was in for it. My brethren. Now he's fixing to lay it on them. But he wants to be able to do it, you know, in such a way. So he starts off his sermon so nice. My brothers. And then skins them alive. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch, this is a problem that not only, of course, existed then, but it exists today, has existed down through time, that saints of God can tend to have respect of persons. But since the saints are all brethren, and they all come from the same Father, how is it that we would respect a rich man above a poor man, or a black man above a white man, or a white man above a black man, or whatever it be, if we're all children of the same Father? Whew. He says, have not, which in the Greek actually means practice not. So practice not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now these are real believers. These are real brethren that have embodied the truth and accepted the message of the hour. But the practical outworking of this salvation is not yet purified in the way that their religious behavior is being expressed. Now watch, he says, if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment. Now look, he ain't talking about going to the theater. He ain't talking about going to the stockyard. He's talking about coming to church. So this had moved in the church that some would come in. My, they had nice clothes. Boy, they bought theirs from the mall. You'd seen that suit down there. It's $238. Them shoes is $145. And then somebody else come in the same church and they bought theirs at Goodwill. So these Holy Ghost saints were treating these rich folks as if though they were better Christians. Whew. Pure religion. Pure religion. My, my. For if you're coming to your assembly, a man with a gold ring. Now friends, listen, this is not something to laugh at. Preferring the rich above the poor is a sin. It is a sin. Preferring the white above the black is a sin. Preferring the black above the white is a sin. Preferring converter guys above plumbers is a sin. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. My, my. Now notice this. James says, if there come one of your assembly, then with a gold ring and in goodly apparel, and there come also a man, a poor man, in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. Now, of course, James was writing when gay meant gay, when gay didn't mean weird. So actually the word gay here is lampros, which means splendid, magnificent, which is not what we'd call gay today. Magnificent, splendid luxuries or elegancies in dress or style. So then here are the Christians, the Holy Ghost filled Christians in Jerusalem and about where this was taking place. They were coming in. My, some of the rich folks had accepted the message. Oh, they'd come in their colors of blue and white. Now remember, the colors signified that you were a wealthy man. The average person could not afford flamboyant colors. They just couldn't do it. Because the flamboyant colors had to be imported from different countries where they learned the arts of dyeing the fabric. And the average person wore plain drab type of clothes. So for you to look at a person that have on blue or purple or the radiant between a blue and a purple, which is a reddish sort of, you knew that person was wealthy. And some of these saints, as soon as they'd see him come in, they'd run over to him. Oh, brother, brother, where do you want to sit? Anywhere in the church. What do you want to set the thermostat on? How loud do you want the music? How loud do you want the PA? And in would come some saints that just had on plain clothes. It was their best. and they had at least took a bath. I mean, they didn't slop the hogs and come to church to slop on them. They'd at least try to clean up. But they'd come in and said, "You sit back there." The front rows are reserved for the upper class. The middle part of the church is the middle class. And the back rows are for you troublemakers. You that's got kids that are loud-mouthed. You that don't pay your tithes. You pay yours? Okay, I want to make sure you're in the right place. Now, can you imagine the Holy Ghost moving in a place like that? And then poor little saints would come in and they'd sit down and they felt so ashamed. Maybe a little Holy Ghost sister sat there and loved God with all of her heart. She had a hole in her poor little clothes. Little old poor farmer. And he'd come in, the Holy Ghost would go to move him. He said, "Well, I guess Jesus feels the same way about me. I guess I ain't fit to be blessed either." James said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Because of social class, you're judging their souls because of social class?" Oh my. "Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts?" You're distinguishers, so you are the one who's deciding who's more saintly and more godly and more holy, and you're deciding that by wealth. As I said, some are partial toward the rich. Some hate them. And they're both wrong. Some folks, because they are poor and come from a poor family, and maybe they struggle, they have a real attitude against anybody that's blessed financially. They're just as bound as the others are. We should be able to treat one another as brothers and sisters. No matter how big your house is or how much money you've got or what you've got in the bank or all that sort of thing, a man that has that will have to answer to God for it. Sure he will. The people that don't have it, my, they struggle and try to get along. Why don't you just say, "God, let me be where I belong. Let me fit financially where I belong. Let me fit revelatory where I belong. Let me fit where I belong in the body of God." Look in verse 8. James says, "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well." This is the one of the most confusing scriptures in the New Testament for theologians. Of course, unless you've studied this, you wouldn't know it, but they just go back and forth. They can't understand it. They can't figure it out. Why would James use this word, basilikos, to describe a law? Why would James use this word, which is used to define the Lord God? Look at this word, royal. Basilikos. King's country. Or belong to a king. Kingly. Regal. So you mean the kingly law is love your neighbor as yourself. In so much that you do believe this, right? Like that James would identify this law as being the king of all laws. Now it's kingly because, of course, it proceeds forth from the king himself. It is kingly because it is his own divine nature. It is kingly because it will make kings out of those who can do it. You see, hate is slavery. hate produces subjects that are in bondage. And if you've ever had hatred in your life toward an individual or toward people, you know what a servitude that hate can demand. Come on now, children. But yet if you are free today and you have the real love of God in your heart, you also know what it's like to be in the King's country. James, are you sure you used the right word? So the way I'm supposed to treat the widows and the orphans and the way I'm supposed to treat the other people as my neighbors, this is the kingly law. To love my neighbor as myself. So this is the King of all laws. Can I go on? Some of y'all got the shocked look on your face. I mean, I hate to put all of you in the ER this evening. Christ is the royal master. And a royal law like this could only come from divinity. We have excerpts of it, of course, down through time. But it could never be manifested in its perfection, of course, until he came upon the earth. What's this? Hatred makes a person in such bondage. But love can make them so free. Everybody hold on now. If I am to love my neighbor as myself, then there is a degree of self-love which is godly. Now, if I'm to love you as I love myself, then that means that love for you, which comes from me, God looks at it and says, that is correct. Now, remember, we're going to divide self-love from the flesh to self-love from the soul. Now, those that really love their self, their soul, they will obey that word. It makes no difference what it costs them. Those who love their self, flesh, more than their soul, they will wind up taking their soul to hell. Because their self-love for their flesh and their sensual pleasures, they considered it of more value than they did the destiny of their soul. But for all glory, those of you that really love your soul in the right way, you will lead your soul down the path of God. And you will do your soul the greatest favor you could ever do. You will take it to heaven and the body with it. Now notice how that James breaks into this royal law. No doubt he saw it personified in the Lord Jesus. No doubt James was one of the brothers initially when the Gospels began that spoke to Jesus and said, hey, if you're a prophet, why don't you go up there and be received? Because the Bible says his brothers did not believe in him. James and Jude and the others that was there, they did not believe in him. Can you imagine your half-brother being supposedly virgin-born? Then the Son of God, the Messiah? So they did not believe in him. Can you imagine though, as James looked back after the Holy Ghost struck him, and he remembered them playing with Jesus as a little boy, as a 13-year-old boy, as a 15-year-old boy. Hear him in the temple, he was always so different. And see the way Jesus would treat people, and the way Jesus would behave. No wonder James could write about the royal law. When the King lives in your bedroom, you got a pretty good idea of the way he lives. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Now notice he says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Look at Matthew chapter 19. The words of our Lord Jesus, of course, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now remember, this is Jesus himself tapping into a self-love, which he says is the right venue. The right channel by which we are to love our neighbor. Now can you imagine that I would love you and you would love me from our soul in the same way that I love the status of my soul? Now, am I going to go around and try to provide for all of you financially and all of your needs naturally? There's absolutely no way in the world that I could do that. No way. We could not do that to the world. There is no way that we can do it. Well, how am I going to love my neighbor as I love myself? And then who is my neighbor? How am I ever going to be able to love them? If I love them from the flesh, my abilities will not be able to reach out and provide for them. I cannot do it. But if I love them from my soul, the way I love my soul, then I will do everything in my power to see that their soul is where my soul will be. Which don't require money, which don't require Cadillacs and houses and lands and this and that and the other. Oh, hallelujah. So that's the way I can love them. Then if I have the means by which I'm able to help them financially, then I will kick my religion into its motion and it will take care of that as well. Y'all okay? All right. Now watch this. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself. Now that lawyer's been dead for a long time, but the spirit that was on him ain't. He willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Fell among thieves. Which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now notice, no personal names are mentioned. Wasn't John Doe, Jim Doe, Frank Doe, Billy Doe, all the Doe boys. No personal names are mentioned. This is on purpose. This is on purpose. By chance there came down a certain, no name again, priest. That way, and when he saw him, no name, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, again, not a name, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to Happy Valley, and took care of him. And on the morrow, he gave Brother Donnie 2 pence, and said to the pastor, That's what the prophet said the inn was, the church. And the innkeeper was the pastor. The inn is not your tape recorder. The inn is a church. Why do you want us to come for? So we'll fill up a pew. I want you to come so I can save you from dying. It's more for your benefit than it is for mine. I will preach with a third full church, a high full church, 10 in the church, 50 in the church, 500 in the church. I preach always the same way with all of my heart. So whether you're here or not, we're going to have church. Whether you're here or not, I'm going to preach. Praise the Lord. So it's not so much for my benefit as it is for yours. Unlike Motel 6. We leave our light on all the time. Theirs will be shut down in the tribulation period, but ours will have taken us out of here in another world. Now what? So he, on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host and said unto him, Take care of him whatsoever thou spendest more. When I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Now Jesus is totally recategorizing the term neighbor. Which in the ancient times was the one who lived closest to you. Now from the Anglo-Saxon society, the word neighbor actually has burst out. Now it's received among many different cultures of the world, Jews, Hebrews as well. And it was those actually a neighbor in the old ancient Anglo-Saxon society. If you was the closest to a man, you were responsible by the law of the Anglo-Saxons for the health, the benefit and the welfare of that man and his children. And if anybody come in and kill them, you were the first one under suspicion. and it took 20 neighbors around you whenever they would have a trial to prove your innocence, that you was not the man that would have ever done such a thing because you were so held in such responsibility to your neighbor. Today we don't even know our neighbor's names. Right? Like Brother Ben said, you don't know the dad, you saw it in the paper. So your Jesus is totally changing now what they're thinking. Okay, neighbor, well, I might do something to the guy across the street. Of course, as long as he didn't cross me. And I might do something to this person. Jesus said, oh, no, that's not the neighbor I'm speaking about. Whew. Notice in verse 37. And he said unto him, now he's asking this lawyer, who do you think would be the neighbor? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You mean help a man you don't even know. Be kind to a person that you've never met in your life and may never see him again. Friends, are we that short of kindness? I ain't talking about dragging your wallet out every time you run into a stranger. Sometimes you don't have to give them $5, you can give them 5 words. Sometimes they need the words a whole lot more than they need the $5. Don't you see what this age is doing to us? It's making us so cold. It's making us so indifferent that we just want to draw within our little shells. That's good if you're a turtle, but you're an eagle. Eagles eat turtles. We want to draw our feet and, oh, I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be hurt. So you don't love nobody. Praise the Lord. Again, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 22:38. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this. You mean to tell me Paul would adventure to say the whole law is fulfilled in loving your neighbor and not loving God first? Paul knew you couldn't love your neighbor right unless you love God right first. Many folks say they love God and their heart's full of hate. Their heart's full of bitterness. Their heart is full of jealousy and all kinds of things. You know what? There's something wrong with their heart and their love toward God first. Praise the Lord. James says again, chapter 2:8, if you fulfill the basilicos, the monarch law, the king's country. This is where the king's kids live. This is our domain to love our neighbor as ourselves. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin. You mean like smoking sin and cutting hair sin and drinking, you mean sin, sin. Hamartia. Hamartia sin to miss the mark. Mama. Verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. Now, this is not saying that their television is fixing to be repossessed, because if I was you, I'd go ahead and let it be repoed. They can't pay their cable bill, so the deacons are going to help pay. They better not. Now, as long as I'm the preacher here, they better not. It ain't something to pay a boat payment and do this because of the exaggerated lust of their own desires. It is their needs. Come on now, some of you wouldn't be in the shape you're in if you learned how to spend money. Didn't you learn how 1 + 1 = 2? And 2 + 2 = 4 and 4 + 4 = 8? And any one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Be ye warmed and filled. Man, they had confidence in their words, didn't they? This is a message believer for sure. So here's somebody that's freezing to death and you say, bless you, brother. be warmed. They eat in 3 or 4 days and you say, be filled, my brother. God be with you. And you go out and set that big tank of yours down at the table and sit there and fill it up with a 4-course meal. I ain't saying you ain't got salvation. I ain't saying you ain't got religion. But I am saying you ain't got it together. Because pure religion, how could you look if you had to meet with your family and say, look, this family in the church, they ain't going to be able to eat no dinner. We're all thinking about going out and getting a steak. But what do y'all say? Instead of doing that, we've only got so much to spend too. Why don't we go through the drive-thru at Hardee's and let's invite them to go through behind us? Because most of us, there is no way I would do such a thing. My Sunday dinner means so much to me. Pure religion, undefiled. Can I go on? Thank you. Amen. Service like this, you have to respond to yourself quick. Depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful. Notice James is separating lust, things that they don't have to have. You're behind on a car payment and got 37,000 all types of gift videos and all kinds of books. Sell them. You got all kinds of junk that you don't need. Sell it. Pay your bills. I'd rather get rid of my Xbox than be Xboxed. I don't have one. I've just heard people talk about them, whatever they are. Seems to be in great demand these days. But a lot of it, friend, what is it? People's lust. And then they, of course, expect the church to underwrite it. This is not the Social Security office. Lord Jesus, you keep doing this, I'm going to be needing Social Security. You love him. Notice James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? I don't know, I mean, I never talked to James personally, but apparently James still believed that a converted man had a white and black dog in the same body. Oh, how we wish it could be so that brothers could live together in harmony. But the truth of it is, there'll never be true harmony until the millennium. Lot had problems. Him and Abraham had problems. The churches have always had problems. The church at Philippi had problems. The church at Ephesus had problems. The church at James is directing. The church at Ephesians, the deepest church in the New Testament, they all had problems. Why? Because you got human beings gathered together. Now, as I go out and preach from here and there, and people ask me all the time, how in the world do you pastor such a big church? I said, I'm partially insane. That helps. And the other part's God called. So I guess I'm a God called nut. Woo! Hallelujah. You imagine James looking on the people and said, what's wrong with you brothers? What's wrong with you sisters? You've got this respected person. You respect this family above that one and this one above that one. And now look at all these wars among you. Let's stand. Well, I appreciate his truth, don't you? I do with all of my hearts, friends. We got a little sister that's wanting to be baptized today. If they'll come, prepare for that. Let's just bow our heads, if you would. I wonder how many of us today present, and those that are watching or stream or archive the service, you look at your heart and you say, you know what, Lord? Hearing that last night and realizing I need to bridle my tongue a whole lot better. I want to display pure religion, Lord. Undefiled. Maybe you don't have a lot of money. where you could help people with. Maybe you just do a living and all that, and that's all you can do. But friends, there's opportunities by which we can minister to the body. It's more than taking folks out to eat. It's more than paying a house payment. I mean, I might be able to just pick up a dollar card somewhere and drop my card. Hey, I heard it just going through this, that, and other. I'm praying for you. I love you, brother, sister. You can make it. We're a body. If God will help us, we're all going to spend eternity together. May God help us that we can love one another so much. Brother Branham said when he was a young preacher, he pastored the church at the Tabernacle, that men from big churches, other pastors around him would ask him, how do you do it? He said, do what? He said, these people love one another so much that they cry when they have to leave. They're going to be apart one another from one another for several days. They cry. How do you do that? He preached Jesus so real to them and projected Christ so real. And they loved one another so much that they just couldn't hardly stand it. They won't see one another again till Wednesday. Or if you live in Knoxville or wherever it is, you drive and can only come on Sunday, we won't see you again maybe till next Sunday. You imagine folks loving one another that much that they just can't hardly part with one another. May God help us. Do you think heaven's going to be like we are here? Where you folks leave and you go your way and you never think about nobody else in the church? You don't pray over them. You don't think about them. You don't visit them. They're in the hospital and nobody calls them. You don't do nothing. Is that the way heaven's going to be? No, my friends, it's not. May our religion be pure. The only way you can have pure religion is have salvation first. And let the outworking of that salvation manifest itself visibly that others will look and see your religion. And your works will testify of the purity of your salvation. If folks see in you loving those who love you, they'll know there's something wrong with your salvation. Praying for those who pray for you. Doing good for those who do good for you. They'll know there's something wrong. But when they see your outward works through your religion, then they'll know your salvation is genuine. Oh my. How many wants to be closer to the Lord today? I do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I've always loved the book of James. To be honest, Lord, it's never been one that I thought had that much depth in it. Never seemed to me that James had quite the understanding that Paul had. And I know that he didn't because he wasn't a prophet of the age. But since up there in Illinois, Lord, on that hunting trip, and I've been reading this verse by verse, I've realized James had more of an understanding than what I thought. So the problem wasn't James. The problem was me. Lord, I thank you for your great word. I want to live in the King's country. I want to walk by the King's law. Lord, keep hatred from me. Keep ill feelings and grudges and all that from me, Lord. It produces slavery and bondage. But keep me in the royal law. To love those that would run me down. I'm not only praying for myself, but I'm praying for my church here today, Lord. Help these people that they will not only love those that love them, but they'll love those that would kill them if they could. Help us, Jesus, to live by the royal law and have pure religion. Grant it, dear God. Grant it, dear God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And let the church say, grant it to me, Lord. Say it again. Grant it to me, Lord. Do you want your religion to be pure? The salvation of the wonderful, perfect salvation that the Lord Jesus has given you. That the outworking of that salvation will be in the form of religion, that people will look at it and see you and say, you're different. What about you? What? Where you go to church? What is it? That's religion. That's religion. The observation, not so much of the theology, not that they'll be impressed by how many scriptures you can quote and how many things you can quote about Brother Branham and what Brother Branham was sharing July the 4th, 1937. Brother Branham was sharing that. They're not interested in that. But it's something out of your life that's real and true. Praise God. You ready, Brother Terry? Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Now, when you think about the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus, you could sum it up in one word, and that one word is come. Come. When Jesus chose his 12 disciples, he's Peter, Matthew, different ones, said, come, come follow me. That was the first invitation. The last invitation, Revelation 22:17, the Bible says the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So all through the Bible, it's come. Come unto me. She has desired, I was talking to Brother Chris last night, said she's just about to wear her mother out. Mama, I want to be baptized. Mama, I want to be baptized. Mama, I want to be baptized. Every night at supper, Mama, I want to be baptized. Well, if they want to be baptized, we're going to baptize them. Some people have a problem with baptizing little children. She's 7 years old. But I might remind you what Brother Bram said in God's Provided Way in 1953. He said, I was talking about he baptized his grandfather at 99. He baptized his mother. He said, my father died in my arms. He said, I prayed for him. He died in my arms. He said, my different brothers and so forth that I baptized. And then there's my little boy. And then he said, and here's my little girl. I baptized her at 7. And my other little girl, she's too young to be baptized. She's only 2. So, according to what the prophet of God said, we could baptize them. If they want to be baptized, we're going to be glad to baptize them. I'm glad that God can get a hold of their young hearts before the enemy can get a hold of their hearts. So that's why. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you have summoned her. We know that the Bible says that no man can call Jesus the Christ except the Holy Ghost would draw them first. So there is a drawing that's already taken place at your heart that you draw her. The devil would not draw her to repent. The devil would not draw her to be baptized or to do right. She was raised in a godly home, so she has that desire, Lord, fulfill what she has been taught. So, Lord, there was a conducive atmosphere there where she could be drawn and wooed and brooded over by the Holy Spirit. So she's given in to that. She surrendered now that she desires. She's repented. She asked the Lord Jesus to come into her heart. She wants to go to heaven. She wants to be a Christian. Now, Lord, we're going to baptize her into the faith, Lord, in water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help her, Lord. And, Father, may you guide her and direct her little life every step of the way until the day of the rapture. Keep the enemy away from her. May she have pure religion undefiled all the days of her life is our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Little Sister Lily, since you've confessed your sins, you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Make me more. Let's sing this just before we go. Jesus, make me more like Thee. Grant it, Lord God. Won't you give me a heart that's filled with Your love and make what will I have? Pure religion, undefiled. Let's raise our hands and sing it. Oh, make me more like Thee. Master Jesus, make Yes, Lord God. Give me a heart, Lord. Your heart. That's filled. Not only for the good. Not only for the righteous. But make me more like thee. Everybody together. Oh. Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. A heart that's filled with your love and make me more like thee. Once more before we go. Think about what you're singing. Make me more like you, Lord. Not like my mama. Not like my daddy. Not like Brother Donnie. But like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Make me more. Yes, Father. Help me, Jesus. Give me your heart. Because it's filled with divine love and make me more like me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Herein shall men know that you are my disciples when you have love. One for another. Lord, we thank you today for this gathering. We appreciate your word, your presence. We appreciate people who have a desire to know truth. Lord, people that even though it gets down to where we live and we may have to say ouch more than we say amen, yet Lord, we want to be right. Right with all of our hearts. Help us, I pray, Lord God. Go with us, Lord. May these things we've heard, may they manifest themselves in our lives. May our salvation be expressed by pure religion. And we know, Lord, pure religion is not what we get paid for. It's not we do this for so-and-so and they pay us so much. And we do this for so-and-so and they pay us. That's wages. But Lord, we do things for people when no money is mentioned. It's not about money. It's not about being recompensed by people. We do it because we love you. Because you love the unlovable. You come to the poor, the dirt poor. You come to the low down, the down and out. Oh, Jesus, help us. No matter what we would ever think we're worth, how much value it would have in money and business, may we never be so elevated in our hearts that a poor brother, sister, that we would be ashamed to shake their hand. Help us, Lord. To realize when we do that, we have raised above you. Help us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your great truth, Lord. Amen. And the church said,
amen.
Praise be to God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. For he took upon him no reputation, took upon him not the seed of Abraham, of angels, but the seed of Abraham, that he might be a servant. And Paul says in Hebrews, it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren. You see, if it had been only the rich, he could relate to them and above them. But if you're the poorest of the poor, then you should be able to relate to everybody above you. Aren't you glad he came in such a way? God bless you, saints. I love you. Love one another.
Amen.
How many is going to become this?
Amen.
By God's grace? Amen. We're not just hearers that we look into the mirror and we walk away and forget what manner of person we were, but we're going to be doers of the work by the grace of God.
Well, I hope this is the last Sunday we ever get together together. I hope we never meet here again. I hope the rapture takes place this evening. Hallelujah. But just in case it don't, we'll be having church at regular time. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing together. Take the name of Jesus with you. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. Oh, it will joy and comfort give you. Take, oh yes, don't you love that name? Oh, precious name. Oh, how sweet hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. God bless you, saints.